Jesus' crucifixion will be our topic today on Chapter and Verse. Listen now as we hear this opening comment from Mike McIntosh.
A lot of Christians do never get overwhelmed by the crucifixion. They're numb. They're not grateful. They don't understand what Jesus went through. And that's a sad thing. But we need to know the story. We need to love the story. And we need to reverence the story of the crucifixion.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Chapter and Verse as we continue with our series in Mark's Gospel. The title for our message is The Crucifixion. Mike has spent some extra time in the 14th and 15th chapters of the Gospel of Mark because there's so much in it that shows us the great love that Jesus has for each one of us. Even to the very end, as Judas was going to betray our Savior, Christ was reaching out to him. The thought that may not cross our minds is how often do we betray him, and yet he still reaches out to us. Let's join Mike now as he begins our study today on CNV.
We're going to be in the 14th chapter, 43rd verse of the Gospel of St. Mark, according to Mark. And we're going to go through the 15th chapter this evening and look at the crucifixion with a medical insight to what happens when a person is whipped and beaten and dehydrated and then crucified. So, Father, as we open our Bibles, we look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, that you said faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So you've done all the work for us. All we have to do is to read and listen and learn. So we thank you for that. We pray as we look at your only begotten Son going through this brutal situation because of our sins. We ask for your mercy. I know as a dad that if a bunch of people had crucified my son, I would have had retribution. And you have no retribution against us but forgiveness and love. And we're very, very grateful for that. We don't deserve it at all. We're very grateful for your kindness and your generosity to us, and especially your love. It's just, as the song says, it's unfathomable. And it's probably going to take exactly all of eternity for us to begin to comprehend this love. So while we're here on earth, we ask that you'll help us be loving vessels to represent your kingdom, and that tonight as we read, we'll learn some new things of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 14, verse 43. Immediately, while Jesus was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude, with swords and clubs, came first from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now, his betrayer had given them a special signal, saying, "Whomsoever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away safely." Isn't that a contradiction? Seize him, you know, use force to grab a hold of him, but lead him away safely. He's blind to his own sin, isn't he? As soon as he had come, immediately, he went up to him and said to him, "Rabbi, Rabbi," and he kissed him. And then they laid their hands on him, and they took him. And one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Now, we know this is Peter. Actually, he did this when the Gospels tell us. You know, to cut off an ear, it'd almost be like the person would have to be going away from you, Because you see, you got the earlobe and your ear sticks out in the bottom. So to cut it off, so this was a kid, we're told, young man. He's running from Peter, and Peter's chasing him with his sword. And the creator of the universe is right there. In one of the other gospels, Jesus, we're told, says to the soldiers, "Who is it you're looking for?" And they said, "Jesus." And he said, "I am." And his words, "I am," are the same exact translation of the words when God was in the burning bush and Moses saw it burning. And he said, "I must go see why the bush burns but doesn't dissipate." And he said, "Who shall I say sent me?" And God said, "Say that I am, that I am has sent you." So the same "I am" in the bush is the same "I am" in this garden right here. So it is kind of ridiculous for Peter to think that he could chop off somebody's ear and really accomplish anything. But sometimes we do silly things. Then Jesus answered and said to these people, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me then. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." And then they all forsook him and fled. Everybody, anybody that loved him or was close to him, they forsook him. So now he's going to be alone. A certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body. And the young man laid hold of him. And he left the linen. The young men laid hold of him, and he left the linen cloth, and he fled out of the garden naked. Why that story's in there, I have no clue. But I guess you can come to Jesus however you are, and he'll accept you into his presence. And then they led Jesus away, and the high priest and with him were assembled with the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. Now, they've been, ever since we started this study, they have been trying to trick Jesus and kill him. They led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. But Peter followed him at a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he said with the servants, stood with them, sat with them, and he warmed himself at the fire. And sometimes Christians make a mistake of warming themselves at the fire of the world to find comfort when there's suffering going on. Now the chief priests and all the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they couldn't find anyone. For many bore witness, false witness against him, but their testimonies, they didn't agree. And then some rose up and bore false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands.' But not even then did their testimony agree." And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?" But he kept silent, and he answered nothing. And again the high priest asked him, saying to him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, and here's that title again, "I am." Okay, I want everybody to say, "I am." Go ahead and just say, "I am." Okay, none of you could be God because you were. So once we say, "I am," time has moved on. Pretty tricky, huh? He's the only one that can say, "I am," because he's right in eternity. We can't say it because once we say, "I am, I was." So, "I am. You will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." And then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "What further need do we have of witnesses? You've heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. And then some began to spit on him, which, by the way, even today is one of the most degrading things in the Orient, in the East, that you could do, is to spit on somebody. and to blindfold him and to beat him and to say to him, prophesy now. And the officers struck him with the palms of their hands. Imagine these men are going to stand before his judgment seat. The ones that are hitting him and spitting on him. Now, as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, hey, you also were with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you're saying. He went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And then the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, this is one of them. Otherwise, this is one of the Christian guys. But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean and your speech shows it. So it'd be like being in Tennessee, speak totally different than somebody that lives in Oregon or Washington. So his accent for his area gave him away. Then he began to curse and to swear. Now there's a good Christian witness right there. He began to curse and swear. I do not know this man of whom you speak. And the second time, the rooster crowed. And then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And bless his heart, look at this. And when he thought about it, he wept. That's really sad, isn't it? I mean, he saw Jesus feed the multitudes, heal people, love them, sacrifice his own life and time, and he denies him. And when he heard that rooster, the word came to him, and he wept. It's interesting that Peter is somewhat of an impetuous man, and maybe a little gruff being a fisherman. But when you read 1 and 2 Peter, you see a change in this man, just in his vocabulary. He really has some deep things to say to the believers. But he had to go through a great breaking, and this is part of his great breaking. You all have to go through it. We all have to go through it. And that's what Jesus said, if you're a disciple of mine, you must pick up your cross daily and deny yourself. And Peter hadn't learned to deny himself. He was denying Jesus instead of denying self. So you don't want to hide from Jesus that you're his disciple. You want people to know that, but you must deny yourself. Chapter 15, and here's the word. We're only one chapter away from finishing our study. So this is a chapter that we just opened up, this 15, in the Bible. It really needs no explanation. You've all read it before. There's not a lot that we can add to it. And we can embellish a couple of thoughts and ideas, but I think the impact of it is overwhelming. A lot of Christians do never get overwhelmed by the crucifixion. They're numb. They're not grateful. They don't understand what Jesus went through. And that's a sad thing. But we need to know this story. And we need to love this story. And we need to reverence the story of the crucifixion. So next week as we take communion, we'll look back hundreds of years to Isaiah. And God gave him ability to see through a time tunnel 750 years forward, and he describes what it was like for Jesus to be on the cross. An amazing thought. The morning the chief priests, they all came, and Pilate asked them and said, are you the king of the Jews, to Jesus? He answered and said, it's as you say. Now, that's one English translation, and I've read commentaries, and if you put all the thoughts together, he's actually saying to Pontius Pilate, you're on the right track. You've got the right ideas, but you're not there yet. Now, another gospel tells us that his wife came in when he's in the praetorium. The praetorium was the judgment hall. and public could go into the judgment hall. It still stands today in Jerusalem, in Old Jerusalem. And this would be near the governor's living quarters, but the soldiers would be here in this area called the Praetorium, the judgment hall. And they had a pole right in the very middle. And the crucifixion oyster didn't necessarily, I almost said always does, it doesn't necessarily start with a beating, with a whipping. Sometimes it did, but it wasn't necessary. The crucifixion itself, historians tell us, one of the most cruel and inhumane ways to kill someone that was ever thought of by mankind. And it would start out like in Jesus, they'd have his hands tied together, but they'd be above his head, tied here. So he's reaching up, and immediately your lat muscles start to expand, and it makes your back broader. And so if I were standing there like this, there'd be two men, one standing on each side. And the Romans had what was called a cat of nine tails. And it was, like you'd think, a whip, big handle on it. But there'd be strips of leather. Specifically, the cat of nine tails has said nine. Some books will say they used a whip with several strips of leather. But there was a bone chip on the end of each strip or piece of lead. Now, lead's very poisonous to the body. So when they rip you open and that lead could drip in there, that in itself is a terrible thing. But the cat of nine tails were representative of those nine strips, so that when you think of Jesus with a man on each side with one of those, even if it was one, he'd have nine strips, and the reason it was the cat is it'd be like a claw coming right across his back when he went, poo-choo. It wasn't just one little whip. It had nine things digging in, and then if there's two guys, there's 18 digging in. Now, some people, you can find books and commentaries and scholarly historical things. Men would die at 10. And Jesus had 39. 40 stripes. And it's interesting that Paul the Apostle had been beaten twice like that and survived it. He brings it up in one of his Gospels. So when this cat of nine tails came and ripped him, you can imagine, as one doctor said, it would be long single strips of flesh hanging from what used to be the back. And he'd be in tremendous agony. Remember on the cross, he was dehydrated. They tried to give him twice things to drink. He hadn't eaten. He had been interrogated all night. He had psychological warfare by the military and the politicians going against him. He had disloyal friends that... Family, they all got away from him. And boy, when you need people is when you're really hurting. So if you've ever really hurt, or you're going to really hurt and you don't know it, realize that Jesus has already been there ahead of you. And that in him we can do all things through Jesus Christ. Even when the roughest times come to our life, we realize he's already been there. For instance, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Do any of you know that? We'll say it out loud together. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ lives in me. And this life I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I don't even know if I was a year old as a Christian, but I was reading the Bible 5-6 hours a day. I loved it. And I was reading those words, and I realized these words are not this religious guy named Paul just telling me something religious. He's experienced this. So it takes time. But we all will experience being crucified with Christ. And after going through years and years of deep trials and painful situations, you begin to realize everything that happened to Jesus on the cross pretty much is what's going to happen to you and me while we're alive, if we want to grow. So we crucify our flesh, die to ourselves, we pick up our cross, we deny ourselves, and then this thing about everybody departing from him. In fact, there's a verse that says, and they stood afar off from the cross. Imagine Mary, John, James, Peter, Andrew, the friends that served him and people that donated to him, they just didn't want to be that close to it. It was ugly. When Jesus was dedicated at 8 days in the temple, you'll remember that the prophecy went out for him, but then that old man turned and looked at Mary and said, "And a sword shall pierce your soul because of this man." Imagine being his mother and watching him grow up, and you're wondering, what in the world? And you know you're a virgin. You're trusting this was God, but yet to see who was that baby in the manger, to be a 33-year-old man, and now literally his back looks like hamburger. His muscles are now shredded. His sinews are shredded. His ligaments are shredded. His fascia tissue is all gone. He has probably spinal fluid, which is a horrible pain, coming out. You could probably see his vertebrae and his disc, and he's totally exposed to everything. And then they're going to make him pick up this cross and carry it. And imagine all the little slivers as he had his back and his shoulders were stretched out. It's a very ugly picture, but it shows you the epitome of sin, what it'll do to a person. And you and I should have been the ones to experience this. But Jesus said, "God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should never die, but have everlasting life." God did not send his Son, Jesus said, into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So let's follow along here. And so now at the feast, verse 6, he was accustomed to releasing one prisoner to them whomever they requested. And there was one named Barabbas, who was chained with his fellow prisoners, the rebels. They had committed murder during the rebellion. The multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he had already done for them. But Pilate answered them and said, "Do you want for me to release to you the King of the Jews?" Now, this is tongue-in-cheek, because they knew, well, he knows it, there was no other king but Caesar. And so for there to be a king of the Jews, they're going to get in big trouble. So he's tongue-in-cheek here. This is, you're killing him because he's the king of the Jews. And little do we know if Pilate got saved during this interrogation or not. His wife said to him, "Have nothing to do with this just man, righteous man, for I've had many troubling dreams because of him." So she was shook. And for somebody in authority, their throne, their office, is a place where they do their business. But I always made sure that any one of our children ever, they didn't even have to knock. They just walk in. If Sandy walks in and she's concerned about something, she's got my attention. What's up? I don't want to be blindsided, so what are you telling me? This is very important that that happened. She's warning her husband, "You don't want this man's blood on your hands." So Pilate answered them and said, "Do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" Which would have been obvious, for he knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. See that? If you go to Galatians 5, verse 19, you'll find out that envy is a work of the flesh.
On that point, we'll pause in our study and hear part two of our message, The Crucifixion, on the Thursday broadcast of Chapter and Verse with our teacher, Mike McIntosh. Our prayer is that these weekday studies help you to realize just how much God loves you and wants to have a personal relationship with you through His Son, Jesus Christ. If you need to make some real steps to ordering your life according to God's principles and giving in to Him, let me suggest that you check in at MikeMacintosh.com and click on the Know God link, where you'll find additional insight and resources there to help you. The address is MikeMacintosh.com and look under Know God. As we close our broadcast for today, I'd like to take a moment to remind you that this program only continues to be heard daily on this station due to the support of our listeners. So first and foremost, we do covet your prayers for this ministry. Then if you'd like to be a part of keeping this radio outreach on the air, write to us at Chapter and Verse, P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, it's Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also give online securely at MikeMacintosh.com. Join us next time as we continue to study through God's Word with Mike McIntosh. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.